All right, here we go. So yesterday, the S&P 500 made another record high. And indices were bouncing back from Tuesday's sell-off. But then the producer price index was released this morning. And after the big sell-off on Tuesday, when the CPI report was being released, the question is, what happened here and how are stocks reacting? And then, of course, we want to share with you, how does this affect our position? So welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. And today's Friday, February 16th. 16th. In this show, despite of whatever you think is going on, we're going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. Well, we're off to a great start here this morning, Mark.
Hey, you're off to a great start, Marcus.
Let's just hop over to the markets and see what's happening. I'm bringing up the 5-minute chart of the E-mini S&P because I think that tells the story of what was happening this morning.
Yeah, you know, this week it was all about inflation data. We had CPI data on Wednesday, and then today PPI data released in a bit of a shock, and you could see that there with that E-mini S&P 5-minute chart.
Yeah, so let's take a look at the data and then we go back to the chart. So looking at the economic calendar, the data that came out this morning after already a higher CPI reading, a higher PPI reading, the producer price index.
Exactly. And this is not what traders wanted to see. And you know, typically CPI data is a little more, I wouldn't say relevant, but focused on by traders. But PPI confirming that increase in inflation that CPI showed on Wednesday, a bit of a shock for the market.
Definitely. Coming in hotter than expected. However, I mean, I really wanted to look into this, Mark. So I went to the Bureau of Labor Statistics website and started looking into this because I wanted to understand what is causing it. And here we're looking at January, and we're looking at the final demand goods. So food was lower by 0.3%. Energy was lower by 1.7%. Transportation and warehousing, that's where I would have expected that prices moved higher because, you know, of everything that's going on in the Red Sea, transportation prices moved higher, but also moving lower there. So we just have this category, other, that moved up 0.8%. But I mean, I couldn't really see anything obvious here where you say, oh, okay, that's kind of why it is super, super bad. I mean, the real categories that the Fed likes to keep an eye on were still moving lower.
And that's a good point, Marcus. So PPI coming in at 0.3% versus a 0.1% expectation. The last reading actually showed a decline. Core PPI up 0.5%. So there is that increase. And one swallow does not make a summer, or whatever it is. You know, this is where the Fed is focused on data, but the back-to-back data showing increase is not necessarily what Wall Street wants to see or investors.
Yeah. By the way, are you impressed that I'm looking into this?
Yes, I am. Anytime you read a document, what's that, Arial font?
Right.
Whenever there's old school font, you know that you're getting serious.
Yeah. I think this looks like a typewriter thing, right? Is it Arial or is it typewriter? Anyhow, so looking at the market reaction to this, at first, the yields were exploding. Look at this. The 10-year yield were jumping above 4.3%. Now pulling back a little bit because I think that others are also scratching their heads and say, okay, what does this data mean and what's causing this increase in producer price index? And then realizing, the categories that the Fed like to keep an eye on are not really affected. But the initial reaction was like, ooh, not good at all.
Exactly. And so maybe a little bit of an overreaction. And, you know, I think when it all, when the dust settles here, they realize it's not all doom and gloom. This is just one reading. But the 2-year yield did hit its, it hit the highest level that we've seen since December. So after a couple months pulling back, a big spike there.
Yeah. Also here, looking at the yield, what do you call it, the spread between these two, the 10-year and the 2-year yield?
Yeah, you could say the spread.
The spread, okay. Right, where we know that when it moved below zero, this is when everybody was yelling, we'll jump into a recession. We have been trying to get back to normal a few times already and have been stopped short. So because eventually we want to see that the 2-year, that the 10-year yield is moving above the 2-year yield again. This is what we are looking for. So here we have this inverse yield. I can't remember the word for it. I know we have been talking about it when it first started happening and everybody started to get overly concerned. But also now, pulling back a little bit.
Yeah, the inverted yield curve. So in a normal, orderly market, you typically have further dated treasuries actually giving you better returns, right? Because the longer you tie up money, the more you should be paid for it. And then when things get a little out of whack, you can have this inverted yield curve. And you're right, we've gotten close to getting back to at least that baseline, that zero line, but just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the market open after the S&P 500 opened. We first moved lower, as we saw previously, but now clawing our way back. I mean, we're not yet back to where we closed yesterday, but we are trading right now just slightly above the opening price. And this again goes back to, this PPI data looked worse than it actually is. At least that's what I see here looking at the markets.
Sure. And early on this morning, it looked like the S&P was going to finish the week negative. But right now, it's definitely a toss-up. S&P only down 4 points for the week. That's less than a tenth of a percent. So we're getting close there. The Dow is positive for the week right now, but also just almost flat, so only up 21 points. The NASDAQ does look like it's going to finish the week negative, almost down a percent.
Yeah, and if you look at a weekly chart here, I mean, we are just coming off a 5-week win streak. And the question is, okay, can we get this streak going? We also see that we only had one losing week, I believe, over the last, 13, 14 weeks, something like this. I mean, pretty much since October, November.
Yeah, look at that. So right now, 5-week win streak. We'll see if the win streak continues or if it comes to an end. But so far, S&P making a decent move after the open.
Yeah. All right, before we take a look at our positions, let's take a look at a few earnings that have been reported. And I think this morning, everybody gets super excited about Coinbase here. Coinbase up 15% and still moving higher.
Wow, nice little run there. So reporting earnings yesterday, better than expected earnings and finish higher, but then more follow through today.
Yeah, so that's super interesting. On the other hand, Dropbox falling today. I mean, earnings came in better than expected, but as we said, often it is about the guidance, and that's what we saw here in Dropbox.
Yeah, and I didn't see the exact numbers for Dropbox, but big drop.
Yeah. Ha ha ha. Big drop for Dropbox. Roku, I mean, that's another one, big miss here. Let's go to a weekly chart so that we see what Roku has been doing. I mean, Roku has just been hanging in there. And I mean, back in the days, I want to say maybe in 2005 or 2008, something like this, I did have a Roku, and right now I'm surprised that they're still around.
This is a tricky company. I mean, a pandemic winner for sure, and we've talked about this with our mastermind group for years, just having concerns about the long-term potential of Roku, and so we've stayed away from it with wheel trades. And I mean, gosh, going from almost $500 a share to 73 today, investors in Roku not too happy with a 22% drop.
Yeah, and again, better than expected earnings, but as you can see, it's a smaller than expected loss. They're still writing losses here, and that's where, yeah, down 22% in pre-market trading. Quite a drop. Take a look at some of our positions. You want to start with
Why
the
not?
WTF? Because we
Sure.
did close out another WTF trade. So in our portfolio, we have right now MDT, which is doing really great if we look at this. So MDT, we entered it, when was that? A few days ago?
Yes.
Yeah, at 83.67, right now trading at 85.20. Loving that.
Yeah, looks like we'll probably have an exit Monday. We'll have to wait until the end of the day and see if we stay at these highs, but potentially an exit, nice little couple of days profit.
No exit on Monday. The markets are closed on Monday.
You are right about that.
All
That is correct.
right,
See, you're catching up.
Verizon,
Rough
another
start,
one.
Marcus, but you're catching up.
Yeah. So Verizon, another one that worked out really, really well. Verizon, we bought it for $39.90, and at first was diddling along a little bit, but then we're able to close it with a profit this morning.
And that's how the strategy works. So, nice opportunity and a couple of days of moving higher out. 4 or 5 days is our expected hold time and nice little win.
Yeah, and I was curious. So I looked at my trading log since I started trading the strategy because I wanted to know where we are with the numbers. Typically, we expect a 70% winning percentage. I'm right now at an 88% winning percentage, so can't complain there. Around $20,000, a little bit more in realized profits here. Got a few dividends because CVS, I think, was paying a dividend. MET was paying a dividend while we were holding the stock. And as you can see here, so total gain of 23,000 and then a total loss of 2,500, leaving me with a little bit over $20,000 here. Average profit and average loss around the same, but with a winning percentage of almost 90%. I like this. And as said, the average in average days in trade for me personally, 5 days. The longest I've been in a trade was 15 days.
And honestly, based on our testing, that is like smack dab right in line with testing going back 10 years. So interesting to see the strategy just totally doing what it's expected to do and holding up.
Yeah. All right. Now let's hop over to the wheel strategy and see what is happening here. And then, of course, this morning, CSIQ not liking the idea that inflation is still stubborn and interest rates might be higher for longer, down 2%. But again, I'm liking that we are still trading in this wedge here. So, and we need to see where we break out. It really looks to me that CSIQ wants to break out to the upside.
And this is where we're at the top of that wedge, and sure, we're unable to make higher highs so far, and that's why you have that trend line moving down and creating that wedge. But gosh, I think today was the day for CSIQ to really pull back after that higher PPI data, down 2%. Sure, it's a decent drop, but for CSIQ, that's not a lot. So I think that this pullback is actually I'm optimistic with this pullback based on the data.
Yeah, I think that very quickly we'll be back up here at around $25, $26, and then we're getting awfully close to our break even and cost basis that we can start selling calls. So this actually
Exactly.
might happen by the end of March. So by the end of the quarter, we might be there.
Believe so.
All right. GDXJ, super interesting. This is a trade where you already got assigned at 33. I sold puts a week later than you, so right now I'm not yet assigned, but you were playing at this time this week a few times already by selling calls, buying them back, selling the calls again, so it's working out great.
Oh yeah, having a lot of fun with GDXJ, working out as expected. And it's interesting because the US dollar, I think I saw that it's been up 5 weeks straight. And so the US dollar being strong actually put some pressure on gold, and which of course would affect gold miners. I don't think that that's going to last forever. So I really like this 33 level. Looks like you're going to get assigned, Marcus, unless there's a big rally. And we could be playing this one for a couple of weeks, having some fun.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that I get assigned here. And this is what we always say. I mean, when you see that you might get assigned, your reaction needs to be, yes, I'm getting assigned. And I'm, oh my gosh, why am I getting assigned? I love getting assigned. Hopefully being able to join you on Monday selling calls, because you sold the calls expiring today or next week?
Well, I closed the ones this week for 90% max profit or 80% max profit with a one-day move. And now I've sold next week's. So looking good.
Yeah, and I keep saying Monday. By Monday, we mean Tuesday, because Monday the markets are closed. All right, so this is a really good one. MRO for me, really working out great. So this is where I got assigned at 2250. I sold calls at the 2250 level, so it seems that I'm getting called away there, and I've sold more calls at 2350. Right now, it seems that these calls at 2350 will expire worthless, and then I would sell more calls on Tuesday again. So, but it seems that half of my position is getting called away.
I like this, especially because earnings are coming up. I know that you have a real nice break even built into the trade because of all of the trading that you've done. So you're already sitting on some nice gains. But for me personally, I kind of like the idea that you're in half of a position and you could take another look at things Tuesday, see if you want to sell puts again or wait.
Yeah, because I mean, if it drops, I would love to sell puts again at the 22 level. And if it rallies, great. In any case, premium should be fairly high on Tuesday because, as I said, we are going into earnings, and right before earnings, we typically see higher than usual premiums. So I'm liking that.
Yeah, great situation going into earnings with this trade.
All right. NEE, also another interest-sensitive stock. So pulling back here a little bit today, but down only 0.4%. Also very promising. I mean, obviously we need to break this this downward trend line, but I do believe that we have found some support here at around 56. And I know that you guys see, okay, it has been moving below 56. Yeah, but you want to take a look at the closing prices, right? So in the closing prices have been mainly above 56 with one exception. So kind of trapped here also, and feels to me that we are breaking out to the upside.
Yeah, I think that this could have been a lot worse. 10-year yields up 1.6 for the day, and that higher inflation data for the session, NEE could have taken a bit of a beating, but down 0.3% is nothing.
Yeah. And then UPS, our little buddy here, UPS making another attempt to break through the 148 level, right now trading at 147.23. We see that we do have some support right here at the 148 level. And I do believe that we need to break through this. And again, we have a very nice wedge formation here.
Yeah, like this move higher with the markets kind of mixed, slightly negative. So I'll take it. And let's go fill that gap now.
Yeah. Now, we'll take another look at the S&P 500 to see where the S&P 500 is and if it will be able to finish the week positive. But let us know if you like as we are running through our positions here and show what we are trading and our thinking. And if you do, please give us a like. We really, really appreciate all of your likes. And with that said, let's hop over and see
Marcus,
what is happening.
Marcus.
Yes.
I have a trade I took with some of our Mastermind members yesterday that we didn't talk about.
Oh my gosh, I forgot. Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Here we go. Deere reported earnings yesterday, better than expected, and provided some weaker guidance for the year because it gets more expensive to finance Deere equipment. And this is where you decided to do an earnings trade.
Exactly. So when we refer to an earnings play, it's still a stock that we want to own based on our wheel criteria at a strike that we are okay owning shares at based on our criteria. There just tends to be a little more volatility in that particular stock because of an earnings reaction. And when I looked at this, I really felt like the weaker guidance that was reported kind of priced into that drop that we saw yesterday, finishing down 5%. And looking at this chart, really loving support there. Strong support, solid company, even with lower guidance for the year. And I sold the 357.50 expiring today. Right now, it looks like it's going to expire worthless. But if we move a little bit lower and I get assigned at 357.50, that works for me.
Yeah, I completely forgot about this trade. I like it. I couldn't trade it because I'm full. I like to trade up to 5 positions in my account. So I was full. Since you are not in the MRO trade, you had an additional position here. And instead of MRO, you have DE. And with this, you're also full.
Yep.
Yeah. You are absolutely right. I forgot about this. Okay. And moving back, look at this. And just like this, the S&P positive for the day by a point. Holy cannoli. So the Dow still down, the NASDAQ still down. But we have the S&P already positive by 0.8 points.
Yeah. When we started the video here, we were down 4 points for the week. Now we're up almost 4 points for the week. So just flirting with that flat line for the week and also for the day. Do you think the S&P is going to finish the week positive, Marcus?
It seems so. It seems so. Because you see, we have the 5,000 level, and the 5,000 level was tested once yesterday, was tested again this morning. And it just seems that the S&P wants to move higher. Will we break above yesterday's high? I mean, we are just a few points away. And how many points do we need? Let's just switch to a weekly chart to finish the week positive. Oh, right now we are positive.
Yeah.
So pretty much if you're staying, we are positive by 3 points. So this means that we need to stay above 5,027, somewhere around this by the end of the day. And I do believe, yes, that is possible. Because this morning was another excuse for profit taking. If market participants wanted to take some more profits, they could have kept the S&P 500 down, but it seems that money is still flowing into the markets. And it seems that buy the dip is a valid strategy right now.
Yeah. Yeah, pull back to five, like you said. I think that that supports a positive finish for the day and week.
Yeah. All right. Hey, if you enjoyed today's show, do us a favor and give us a like. And if you believe that others might benefit from it, please share the show. There's a share button underneath. You can share it on Facebook, on Twitter, /X, I don't know, wherever you want to share it. Forward this to your friends. And ask them to subscribe. We really appreciate it. And with that said, have a great long weekend. Monday, the markets are closed. And we'll see you again on Tuesday.
Happy trading, everybody.